श्रेषु कश्चिद् यतति सिद्धये तामपि सिद्धानां कश्चिन् मां वेत्ति तत्त्वतः. भगवद्गीता 7.3. Krishna here continues to describe the glory of the knowledge that he is going to give. In 7.1 he stated that by this knowledge you will know me in full and your mind will become attached to me. In 7.2 he stated that Jnanante hum savijnanam idam vakshyam yasheshatah yajnatvaneh bhuyonyajnatavyam avashishyate. I'll give you both knowledge and realization, and with this you will transcend all the illusions of material existence and you will attain you'll get knowledge and realization and you will have all that, you will know all that is to be known. And now in this, unless he talks about the rarity of knowledge, especially knowledge about Krishna. Manishyanam sahasreshu, hundreds of people, thousands of people actually, Shata is 100 and Sahasra is 1000. Among thousands of people, Kaschid Yatati Siddhaye, few endeavor to pursue any knowledge beyond the material, beyond the knowledge of the immediate world, knowledge of Ishreyasa, knowledge of the long-term good. Yatatamapi siddhanam kaschinmam vetti tattvataha. Yatam, and even upon those who acquire this knowledge, yatatamapi siddhanam. So among them, they may become siddhas. Now here siddha refers to they getting atma-gyan or they getting some yogi siddhis. But kaschin mam vetti tattvataha, few know me in truth. So most people are materialists, among them are few are spiritualists, and among spiritualists also few are devotees. So Krishna is conveying doubly the rarity of those who know him. He doesn't use the word bhakti over here, but he uses the word tattvataha, mam vetti tattvataha, know me in truth. And Krishna has said earlier in 4.9 that janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tattvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti so Arjuna, that janma karma cha me divyam, that those who know me in truth, so those who know about me in truth, janma karma cha me divyam, about my appearance and activities, they won't take birth again. Taktva deham punarjanma, they won't take birth again, but what will happen to them? Naiti mameti so Arjuna, they will come to me. Krishna is using mam in an ambiguous first person reference. He is not stating they will attain my nature or the light that I am or the soul within me or anything like that. He is saying they will attain me straight. So they will come to me. Mameti. So that is clearly the destination of the devotees who come to Krishna and live eternally with him. So the destination, the result of knowing Krishna in truth, tattvataha, is that we will attain him. And the process for knowing Krishna is talked about later in 18.55, bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanyascha asmi tattvataha. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. How can we know him? Bhaktya. By bhakti, by devotion. Yavan yascha asmi tattvataha. We can know him as he is. As Krishna is, we can know him through the process of bhakti. So, that means knowing him tattvatah, the process that is required is bhakti, and by knowing him tattvatah, the destination that is attained is also the destination of the bhakta, that is Bhagavan. That means there is no scope for this knowledge of Krishna and truth being misrepresented as impersonal knowledge. Krishna is talking very clearly about him as a person and knowing him as such. And he says, this is very rare. Why is it rare? Manushyanam sahasreshu, thousands of people, kashchid yatati siddhaye, few endeavor to know about Krishna. Kashchid, very few. Yatatam api siddhanam, yatatam, and among those who know about Krishna, those who endeavor for transcendence and those who succeed in attaining transcendence, even they attain knowledge of lower levels of transcendence. They attain knowledge of the all-pervading effulgence of Krishna in his impersonal manifestation of Brahman, or they attain impersonal realization of the Paramatma, where Krishna doesn't exhibit any personal past, reciprocal pastimes there. So among spiritualists also, few actually become devotees. A similar verse is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayanaha sudurlabha prashantatma kotishvapi mahamunah. Muktanam api siddhanam. So among those who are liberated and those who are real, siddha, those who are perfected. So siddhanam is the same word that is used over, similar word that is used over here. Ifta api siddhanam is exactly the same half phrase, half line. So, narayana parayanaha, those who are devoted to Lord Narayana, sudurlabha prashantatma, sudurlabha, people are extremely rare. Krishna will also use the word sudurlabha in the Bhagavad Gita, in this chapter, to refer to those who come to the knowledge that He is everything. Krishna says in 7.19 that Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanavan Mam Prapadyate Vasudevah Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. So He says that after many lifetimes, those who come truly to knowledge, Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate, they surrender to Krishna. Vasudevah Sarvamiti, they understand Vasudev to be everything. Samahatma Sudurlabhaha, such Mahatmas, such people are Mahatmas, and they are Sudurlabhaha. Durlabhaha, Labha is that is attained. Durlabhaha is that which is very rarely attained. Sudurlabha is like there is a double intensifier here. So, labha is qualified durlabha. So, durlabha means the opposite of what it is. But durlabha is further intensified. There are two modifiers. One is the opposite modifier. Many times the putting one word before a word makes its mean opposing, paryaptam, aparyaptam. So, like that, durlabha. So, karma and dushkarma, we can say, vikarma, karma and vikarma. So, v becomes a modifier, a prefix that makes the meaning opposite. And that opposite sense is intensified by another prefix. Prefix refers to a word that is fixed before a word, a part of a word, something that is fixed before a word. So here, durlabha is rare, very difficult to obtain, and sudurlabha is extremely difficult to obtain. So Mahatma Sudurlabha, Sudurlabha, extremely rare. So Krishna is, so what Krishna is staying here in 7 point, sitting here in 7.3, he will reiterate in 7.19 after a further analysis, which we will come to when we come to 7.19. Essentially here, Krishna is stating that knowledge about him is very rare, and by glorifying this knowledge in this way, he is capturing Krishna's attention. Suppose there is a very successful businessman who has practically minted money, earned billions, and then such a person says that now I will tell you a secret that is known to very few people, the secret by which you can multiply your money. Everybody will be eager to hear, especially when money is given reverence like God nowadays. So people will want to know, what is the secret? Please tell us. So similarly, Krishna is told that knowledge about him and fixing the mind on him are the topmost perfection of yoga. So for a person who is dharmic like Arjuna, who knows that life is ultimately meant for attaining not material wealth but spiritual perfection, he knows the glory of that knowledge, glory of that achievement, our knowledge about Krishna, and Krishna is now emphasizing that glory through talking about its rarity. So in the first text, Krishna talks about, in 7.1 he talks about the result of this knowledge, that is your mind will become attached to me, which is the perfection of yoga. In the next verse he talks about its extent. It says everything will be known to you. Everything we discussed in our previous talk refers to the everything in essence. Details are endless, but the principles, if we know, principles act as adequate guidelines for existing, as more than adequate guidelines for us to live successfully. And in this verse, he talks about the rarity. This knowledge is rare because the desire to know Krishna is rare in the heart of the soul. And we need to sincerely, determinedly cultivate that desire by associating with those who have that desire, and thus we will be able to move onwards towards Krishna. Thus we will be able to attain Krishna. So what Krishna is essentially saying here is that, O Arjuna, knowledge about me is extremely rare, and that knowledge, tachrunu, is in 7.1, that knowledge I am going to give to you. So it is extremely rare, extremely precious. Please hear it, tachrunu, hear it, Arjuna. And this knowledge will grant us also the supreme perfection. Now, in today's social context, also we can see that although there are people who are religious, they have very little positive knowledge about God. They just believe usually in some dogmas and follow some rituals, and there are a large number of people who are largely materialistic. So those people who are seriously devoted to God, who are seriously seeking God, and who want to make love of God their ultimate aspiration, they are extremely rare. Or to speak of those, the rarity of those people who actually achieved love of God. So this, the rarity of knowledge about Krishna is even more evident in Kali Yuga, because most people are nominal religionists or are materialists. And in such a context, those of us who have the opportunity to know about Krishna and the opportunity to learn to love him, to practice, to render service to him, to cultivate devotion to him, We are all special. We are all, as Krishna says, one among thousands. If we apply the two degrees of superlative, then it becomes one among millions. So, those who endeavor for transcendence are one among thousands. And further among, although Krishna does not use explicitly word against Nishyanam Sahasreshu, but again, Tamapi Siddhanam Kashchin, he uses few among them. So that Kashchin he used in the previous line to refer to one among thousands, few among thousands. So that he can apply that to the next comparison also. So even among those who are spiritually minded, many people become voidists, impersonalists. And so, and among them there are few. So each of us, we are all one among millions. And this is not a matter of arrogance for us, not something by which we should become arrogant, because it's not by our credit that we have come to know about Krishna. It is only by the credit of the devotees who have strived to give Krishna to us that we have got some knowledge about him. And actually, we cannot say that we know Krishna. We know him superficially. If we knew him tatvataha, then we would fall in love with him. We would understand that actually nothing is all as attractive as him, and there is no reason for me to appeal to anyone other than him, to devote myself to anyone other than him. The fact that we are still attracted to other things indicates that our devotion right now is superficial. Our knowledge about Krishna is also superficial. But by hearing Krishna's message, by meditating on his message, and by cherishing that message, cherishing the direction to fix the mind on him that comes as a part of this message, we can all become absorbed in Krishna. And we can truly know Krishna, by which we will attain him, as 4.9 has said. Thank you.